All right, Katie, it's May. And guess what May and June means?
Flowers. Isn't that what
Oh,
they say? April
yeah. I
showers bring
mean,
May flowers.
that's not what I was going for,
Oh,
but
what were
we
you
all
going
talk
for,
about
Danny?
flowers. I love weeding my yard. No, it's graduation o'clock. It's that time. And when this episode airs, Katie and I will have walked at graduation. It's true.
Wow.
It's official. We can
Wow.
use our titles,
That's
Dr.
right.
Sloan and Dr. Blunt.
And I expect everyone to use the titles.
Especially you, Fernando.
I'll do my best.
It's
I'll do
our.
my best. No worries.
Want to know what we're going to do if you don't use our new titles? You got to put respect on our name. Otherwise, you're going to hear the bell. All right, Katie, more and more we are talking about getting back to normal life. Are you ready for
Danny,
that?
I don't even know what that means anymore. Normal is, I don't know. I don't know.
For me, normal means going back to normal shoes. So I have
Oh.
to switch out my slippers for another pair of shoes, and I don't even know what shoes are cool, but I think all that matters is comfortable now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Danny, this normal feels abnormal when it comes to like some places in some areas you don't have to wear a mask anymore. I visited a place last night and they're like, we're all vaccinated. We don't need masks. And I was like, are you sure? Because I don't think I should be talking to you right now. So, yeah, I can understand that. What we're wearing is going to change.
It is on our faces, on our feet, and with our students and teachers. So I think you brought a guest for us to learn from today.
I did. I did. Let me tell you about Dr. Darren Draper. Well, Dr. Draper has been the director of innovative learning for the largest school district in Utah, which is Alpine School District, during the last 4 years. In this capacity, he has worked with others to develop and supervise a team of coaches to support and increase teacher capacity throughout the district. Prior to his work with Alpine, Darren served as the Director of Education Technology in the Canyon School District, where he led a large and effective team of ed tech specialists along with Canyon's virtual high school. Darren is a regular presenter at the ISTE, COSIN, USET, and other conferences, and he loves to find new and better ways to engage teachers and students in learning. Welcome, Darren.
All right, thanks. Thanks for having me, Katie and Danny. It's nice to be.
Yeah, and we should say welcome back because this is your second time on our podcast, and we are
Round
so
two.
glad to be learning with you again.
That's right. We'll talk about, things being not quite normal. I was Darren's employee. I was a member of that Canyon Zed Tech team, and look at us now. I'm
Those were
interviewing
great
him.
times.
Those were great times.
Oh, the stories I could tell.
Uh-oh, well,
Ooh,
watch out because I've got stories too.
I was gonna say maybe we should do story time instead of kid questions, but it looks like a mutual ceasefire has been
That's right.
Fair enough.
It's mutually assured destruction for sure.
Well, in that case, we'll go ahead, Darren, and we're gonna move forward with our kid questions. You ready?
Yep, ready.
All right, the first one.
What is your favorite snack?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think my favorite snack, honestly, is potato chips, something salty. I love potato chips.
Do you have a favorite bag that you always grab?
No, I like a variety.
Okay, I like it. All right.
Okay.
Second question.
Would you rather go to the beach or New York City?
I would rather go to the beach.
Yeah, why?
Somewhere small, quiet. I just love the sound of the ocean. In fact, we went there for spring break. It was so nice to be able to spend a little time on the sand.
Oh, lovely.
Nice. You know of Darren that he likes the outdoors, nature.
I love being in the mountains. That's probably where I would choose.
When I was looking at kid questions, there was one about mountains and I was like, nope, we already know Darren's answer there. We gotta catch him a little off guard. And then the third and final kid question. This one might be the hardest.
What is your favorite picture book?
You stumped me.
Way to go, kiddo.
I'm gonna go with No, David.
Oh,
do you remember No, David? I mean, it's a little old school. I'm dating myself here, but I really love that book. That's such a great story.
That's a good one. You know, Darren, I'm impressed because I think that's an extra challenging question for a former secondary teacher.
That was my own kids that I read No, David with.
Nice. Aww, it was a favorite at our house as well. All right. Well, you passed the first test, so I guess we can just kind of jump into our conversation.
Right.
So tell us about what your experience has been in leading Alpine's innovative learning coaches during the innovative learning time that was the pandemic.
Yeah, I'm sure you can relate to a lot of our experiences. It's been a crazy year, that's for sure. Just over a year. I remember March of 2020 will be a month that's just tattooed in my brain, I think, and the craziness of that time and last spring. Honestly, I think leading a team of coaches has been, it's been an exciting time. It's been challenging as our coaches have really stepped up and, you know, they've gone above and beyond in supporting our teachers and helping them to shift what they're doing to online and blended classrooms and really just trying to do our best to support students through such a crazy and, you know, this is our first pandemic. So we're learning as we go, and there have been times when we've had to stumble and experience that, but we've been able to pick ourselves back up and keep moving forward. It's been a fun time, honestly, and trying to figure out how to do it. After working in education for 20 years, and sometimes we get kind of in a rut, this last year has been anything but normal. And so it's been nice to be able to experience some change and try to take advantage of it and move forward.
I love that, Darren. I think we talk a lot in education about that it's okay to fail and it's okay to, you know, as long as we're failing forward. But sometimes that's harder to put into practice, you know, to actually be okay with, you know, like you said, messing up and not quite doing it the right way and learning from it. So I love that this year, like it or not, failures happened, things changed so quickly that we had to have that frame of mind and really, really mean it.
Yeah. And for us, it's forced us to really focus on what's essential, essential standards, essential behaviors in teaching and in learning. And it's helped us to really, I think, grow a little more empathy for when people struggle and, you know, be willing to accept failure just a little bit more and see it as an opportunity for growth.
It's kind of interesting because I feel like growth mindset and growing empathy in our students have been really big buzzwords long before the pandemic. And then, you know, we got this opportunity to actually put some of those things into practice as adults.
Yeah, it's forced it, hasn't it?
A little bit. but look, we're all still smiling right now. So,
well, honestly, I feel fortunate that through the whole pandemic, we've still been able to work. We've still been able to meet with students. We've still been an essential component in society and helped our communities to continue to grow and to heal. And it's been nice to be part of all of that.
Absolutely. I think that's one thing that has been really nice is feeling how essential education is to our communities. And so that kind of importance is always lovely. But I'm interested, what have your innovative learning coaches, what kind of feedback have they shared from teachers about what kinds of things we need to continue as we move into this post-pandemic era?
Oh, that's such a great question. As I've met with coaches through the year, they have constant feedback. It's so nice to be able to meet with them because they have such a strong pulse on what's happening in schools. They don't meet with just one teacher. They're bouncing from teacher to teacher and team to team and really having intimate conversations with different personnel in the schools. And so they really understand what's taking place out there. And, there have been ebbs and flows of positives and negatives and struggles and successes and celebrations. There was a point early this calendar year, really December, January, when we really started to look forward and say, okay, it looks like we're starting to come out of this pandemic. Now, what do we want things to look like as a result of our experience through the pandemic? What are some things that we're doing now that we weren't doing a year ago, but we want to keep doing because we've seen they've been so beneficial? And so I asked the coaches actually to kind of rattle the trees in their schools and survey their teachers and ask them that question. What are the practices that we're doing right now that students need us to continue? And as they brought those responses in, we had an interesting experience and process as we kind of refined their answers and looked for some common themes. We ended up as a team really developing two documents, a list of 10 practices that we hope to continue for elementary and then also 10 for secondary. And there's a little bit of overlap in the two documents, but it's interesting to see that many of the things that they recommended and that teachers are saying that kids need us to continue doing that, there are many of the things that we've always been doing, or at least things that we wanted to do well. Things like remain aware and in tune with the mental health of students and self. How often, think back 2 years ago, how often really did we feel like it was acceptable for a teacher to be in tune with their own mental health? It seemed like there were so many times when we were comfortable with teachers sacrificing their mental health, when really we need everyone in the system to feel healthy. That's something that should be celebrated. Another one is kind of one that I touched on already, but improve clarity by maintaining a laser-like student-centered focus on essential standards while streamlining tier one instruction. I feel like the pandemic has forced teachers into narrowing their message. Because as students, as students are at home or they're struggling or whatnot, it's hard enough for them to pay attention to small bits. And so it's important that we as educators understand what are we doing? What are the essentials? Let's cover those essentials very well. And let's take out a lot of the fluff. Anyway, those are a couple. I can share with you those documents if you'd like. You're welcome to share those out with your listeners. And I think there's some pretty good ideas in the documents. Interestingly, though, the things that are in those documents, it doesn't feel like a lot of rocket science. It feels like a lot of things that we've been doing or wanting to do, but now we know we need to do them. And we've seen what happens when we don't do it well.
Yeah, thank you for being willing to share those documents, because I think that those lists will be beneficial to educators all over the state, all over everywhere. And I agree with you. You know, I remember feeling when the pandemic hit and all of a sudden, you know, teachers had to do a lot of these things that, as you said, we've been trying to do and trying to teach them for a long time. My initial reaction, and we said this a lot, was, aha, the revenge of the ed techs. You didn't listen to us before and now you must. But I've calmed down and realized that there were so many things, right? There were so many messages and so many things we were trying to teach our teachers that it really takes, well, hopefully it doesn't take a pandemic every time, but in this case, the pandemic did help us find clarity in what mattered most with these practices we'd been trying to work toward. So what an opportunity we can have out of a really stressful time to make these lessons really stick moving forward.
Yes. Yeah. And we've been fortunate that, you know, so in Alpine, we've held in-person school all year. In our secondary schools, we have one day a week now that is an online learning day, but the rest of the days are online, are in person. We've been fortunate that COVID transmission in schools hasn't been as bad as we thought it might be. We've been fortunate to be able to help those kids that need, you know, extra support in person. It's been nice to be able to do that, even, you know, with all of the cautions and the protections that we have in place. I'm very pleased to see that those things have worked.
Well, wonderful. We are talking to Dr. Darren Draper from Alpine School District about what we can learn from the pandemic and the things that students need us to do moving forward. We're going to take a commercial break and then we'll come back and continue talking with Dr. Draper.
Many educators and students are familiar with Utah's online library, but another excellent tool for accessing information is eMedia.
That's right, Danny. eMedia is a digital library of educational resources created specifically for Utah learners. You can search by grade level, educational standard, keyword, and more.
You get to explore, create, and collaborate with educators from around the state to improve curriculum. Jared, you'll like this. It's kind of like Pinterest, but specifically for educational resources.
I don't know what you're referring to.
You love Pinterest.
Anyway, Danny, in spite of your pleas for me to go use Pinterest, please go to emedia.uen.org to browse resources today.
emedia.uen.org.
Well, welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Darren Draper from Alpine School District about what students need us to do moving forward out of this pandemic year. And Darren, you've been talking a lot about what your coaches have learned from talking to educators throughout all of your schools and what some of these things are that we need to continue. As they've been talking in their different schools, has there been a difference between what it seems elementary students need moving forward versus secondary?
Yes, there really has been a difference between what elementary students need and what secondary students need. You know, as we compiled those two lists, we noticed there is some overlap. For example, both elementary and secondary students, they do need teachers to maintain a strong online presence. You know, a place where they can go for some anytime learning, a place where they can go and review what has been taught, more than just a place to access assignments and assessments, really a place just to extend their learning and to review prior learning if they haven't totally grasped what has been taught. We also need a little more overlap would include just improved feedback. You know, students need more and better feedback on their learning. And at the same time, I think teachers can use feedback as far as how effective is their teaching, What are some things that they need to continue to cover? Where are some areas that they haven't yet taught as well or hasn't been learned as well? And then finally, another piece of overlap, I would say, is just that idea of focusing on essentials, essential standards, streamlining instruction, trimming the fat is how one teacher put it. Differences, though, as far as elementary and secondary go, that we found is really in the types of services and supports that are available, I think, in the different schools. When we talk about providing social and emotional support to students, that can look different in an elementary school than it does in a secondary school. Psychologists, counselors, other service providers may be available in one environment that aren't available in another environment. So we need to think through those needs and our own staffing and our own circumstances in order to be able to best meet the needs of students. So how you might approach meeting the needs of students in elementary school as far as social emotional wellness and other similar type of needs, you know, they may be different than if you're in a secondary.
Absolutely. Something that I've noticed as a parent, and my son's in elementary school, is how nice that online presence is for me to know what's going on in school to really bridge that gap between home and school. So, for example, they did a virtual field trip, which was awesome and adorable. They went to the Leonardo in Salt Lake City. And then my kid was able to come home and show me the exact same thing. And he was excited to with his school device. I love that he comes home from school excited to share. But I imagine as he reaches secondary age, it's more difficult to, you know, have that bridge between home and school. And so the online communication as well as extra supports in schools, I can see how that is going to be very necessary as we move forward.
Yeah, we knew this early. I mean, we knew this before the pandemic, but early into the pandemic, we had it cemented that in elementary, the relationship with the parent as educator, really, as a partner in the educational process, it's critical in an elementary, whereas you might be able to get away with a little less parental involvement in secondary and certainly in high schools. So another difference between elementary and secondary is really just how secondary students are a little more independent in their learning, and that it's important, or we've seen through this pandemic, that it's important that teachers offer some sort of open office hours, whether that's online or in person. But our students in secondary in particular really need an opportunity to be able to meet with this teacher if needed, get some one-on-one help, and just receive some a little more personalized instruction. We've seen, you know, as soon as you bring computers into the educational process, I think it's a natural transition to want to have a more personalized experience. We know that as we're using our phones, we're using the internet, each of us has this personal experience, and we crave that, I think, when we get in our classes. It can be challenging, I think, to be in a room filled with 40 other students, have the teacher wanting to just give that one-size-fits-all lesson, and know that really you could be exploring some of this on your own, using the internet, and maybe learning about things that interest you just a little bit more.
Thank you. And you know, what strikes me too is it's great to have these things articulated the way that you are. And I'm coming back to again that I think it's also great to have anecdotal evidence from your coaches in the schools that say, yes, these things matter and we need to do these things. And so I want to say again that our listeners can access your full documents with these lists that you and your coaches have come up with in the notes for this episode of the podcast, because again, they're very clearly stated and they're evidence-based from what your coaches have learned in the field.
Yeah.
So with that, we've talked a lot about students and what they need. What do teachers need moving forward out of pandemic in this post-pandemic world that we're very close to?
Teachers need a lot of the same things that students need. They do need to pay attention to their social wellness, their emotional wellness. Interestingly, you know, in September and October, many of our coaches would talk about how it felt like it was spring already, how they'd already been through a full year of trying to support teachers and they'd only been in it a month or two. And here we are now in May, and I can tell you that our teachers are tired. Our coaches are exhausted. They need a rest. They need to know they're appreciated. They need us to just kind of let things sit for a minute. Just, you know, out of appreciation for the awesome work that they've done this year, and let them know that things are going to be okay next year. That regardless of all the turbulence that's going on out there right now, that schools are going to be in session again next year. And we're going to do our best to make, you know, class a safe and an effective place to come and learn and grow with each other.
Absolutely. I love what you're talking about there, Darren. And I think they also need to know that they've made school happen this year, and that this year's experience, yes, it was absolutely different than we've experienced in the past, but it's been a good year. I know teachers are stressed and tired, rightfully so, but their work has paid off for our students. My kid was so excited to be able to go back to school in person with his friends and his teacher, and it's meant the world to them. So the work that they've done has really paid off.
I loved when I went to get my COVID vaccine, and they had a shout out board, and it was so awesome to see teachers listed on that board multiple times. Shout out to my teacher for the great things they've done.
That's amazing.
Just so fun to see that. And they, you know, they deserve every shout out that they get.
Absolutely. So you've talked about, you've used the phrase disrupt forward in a blog post that you've recently written to describe how your district doesn't just want to go back to the stagnant normal, but to keep progressing forward. So what does that mean? What does disrupt forward mean? And how are you guys going to accomplish that in Alpine District?
Well, to me, it means that we're going to take this disruption, the change that happened because of the pandemic that we were thrown into, and leverage it to our advantage, and try to glean some of the positives out of it and hold on to those. I guess maybe one example of those is just this idea of micro-credentials and micro-PD experiences. We learned that, you know, learning for teachers can be more effective if it's broken up into little chunks. Instead of a 6-week course, maybe it's really just a series of 5 or 6 1.5-hour courses that are tailored to whatever the teacher wants to learn about, that are stackable, that will lead eventually to a credential, but that are really more customizable to what the teacher really needs. So that's one of the areas I would say we're working to disrupt forward and just really kind of change how we look at teacher professional development and the offerings that we provide for our teachers.
I love that. One of the courses that we started this last year at UEN is a MOOC, so a massive open online course, and its title is Mobile Learning. And the course is designed to complete on your cell phone. And it teaches the components of micro learning and mobile learning to teachers so they can turn around and use those tools in their classroom. So I think you mentioned kind of that laser focus on what's really important with students. And micro and mobile learning can be great ways to administer that kind of laser focus for both teachers and for students.
Yeah. So one of the things we're starting to develop is just a series of courses, essentially micro courses tied to technology, because that's our lane. We're also focusing though on even just a simple 1.5 hour course on blended teaching, best practices in blended teaching, that would also include a component where the teacher will work with a coach in developing, you know, some sort of a resource that they can use right out of the gate as they come back to school next year.
It seems to me that that coaching component is very important in this idea of disrupting forward, because as you said, you know, for you and for your team, that is your lane. Like, that is what you do every day. But part of it is bringing the entire district with you with this vision. And so I feel like coaches are in there with the teachers and with the administrators and can really help everyone move forward. Are there other things that you're doing to ensure that this isn't just your team's focus, but that all the students, all the teachers, all the parents, all the administrators are coming with you?
That's one thing I think, I can't take credit for this, but one thing that we try to do very well in Alpine because of our size is to really work on scaling out innovation. We often will break up our trainings into clusters or into groups of schools that either are geographically similar or they have a similar focus. We're working with a set of schools right now. We're calling the transition a transition to next generation schools that would shift to going from maybe it's not a cart of Chromebooks in every class even, maybe it's not even regular access to technology, toward a one-to-one access of student technology. And in that, in this cluster of schools that we're working with, and it's not quite half of our secondary schools, a little less than half of our secondary schools, which is still a fairly large group. We are focusing on things like effective digital citizenship and what it looks like to be a great blended teacher, and how can parents be involved in the education of their students, not just you know, in the school, but in the things they're learning online on their own. To answer your question, Katie, yes, there are many things we're trying to do to roll this out. One of them is through coaching. Others are through different clusters that were of schools where we work with principals, we work with groups of teachers in those schools to try to bring the water to the end of the row. In an organization the size of Alpine, that's a real challenge. And I know that if we don't focus on that, then it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a challenge that we have being a large organization that's kind of a luxury of smaller, you know, one feeder system school districts that they don't necessarily need to think through a rollout. It's just does everybody agree? Yep, we agree. All right, we're moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, I still like that idea of the whole package, meaning all people and all, you know, members of the school community, which for other large districts in the state is very important to think about, just as Alpine is. But for any LEA, no matter their size in the state, it's a whole package of I'm thinking of TPAC. It's the whole package of technology, pedagogy, it's communication, it's, you know, thinking about citizenship. If we're going to go fully one-to-one, or maybe we already are, do the kids know what digital citizenship and media literacy really means when they're using those devices? Do the parents know how they can, you know, look at what's going on these devices, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I love that it's, you know, this goal of, as you say, making the water get to the end of the row. I love that analogy. And including all aspects of instruction and training that need to go with it. So large or small, I think everybody needs to consider all the different angles.
Yeah, and the entire community. It's not just the teachers. It's not just the students. It's really the entire community.
And no one is going to be disappointed about clear communication and everyone being on the same page.
Huh, well, Darren, yeah, what a concept.
Well, Darren, it has been awesome having you back on our podcast. We so appreciate you helping us wrap our heads around what we're looking forward to and what we can expect for education in the coming school year. So thank you, Dr. Draper.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you.
All right, Katie. I know you're used to doing the tech tip for me when I have you co-host with me, but I decided to give you the gift of doing the tech tip myself.
Wait a minute. My mind has been blown, so I just need a moment.
I'll give you a second. I'm not going to give you
Danny of lazy tech tip teacher land, whose brain cells are never fully firing.
You guys,
you're so going true. To do it?
I'm going to do it.
Give the tip. Oh man, I can't wait. It's going to be a good one.
It's a pretty good one, I'm not going to lie. So, whether you are a teacher who has been wondering how to remove the background of your images or video for your kids, or you're a TikToker and wanted to know how the others do it, there is a free service that helps you make a transparent background for yourself. And then, of course, you can replace it with something calm or professional or wacky, depending on whatever it is you're looking for. Maybe you need to make your second graders laugh. I don't know. But it is called unscreen.com. So Katie and I happen to have giant green screens that are like a pop-up tent in our home offices right now. And they pop up very well, but putting them away is like a three-person job.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. It's one of those things where you don't know once it's been opened, how it ever fit in that container in the first place.
You're not wrong there. So if you do have the green screen put away, you don't need to get it back out. You can just upload your videos into unscreen.com.
Okay, so this is a post-production thing. So this isn't for live Zoom or something like that. This is for videos that you're producing for your Canvas course or for, as you said, TikTok or whatever it is.
Yes, exactly right.
Nice. Danny, what do you plan to put behind you for your next fabulous TikTok dance video?
Oh my gosh, probably a sloth or like the Egyptian pyramids. Like those are the two things that immediately jump into my head. I wish I was in front of the pyramids.
Oh, okay.
I wish I were dancing in front of a sloth. So, what about you?
Is it because a sloth moves so slowly that compared to the sloth, your dancing will look extra amazing?
Yes.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Well, I have yet to make a TikTok video, but the first thing that comes to mind is, like some kind of disco ball, but something like with glitter and shiny things all around. We were having this discussion over the weekend in my household that, you know, glitter to some people is the worst thing in the world because it never goes away. And my perspective is that glitter is the best thing in the world because it never goes away. So that's what I want behind me.
Conversation with my husband. He's on the no glitter camp, and I've been banned from bringing glitter in the house. So
see, but if you used, say it again, what website?
Unscreen. UNSCREEN.
So if you use Unscreen and have virtual glitter behind you, maybe that would be okay with your husband.
Or I could just totally freak him out and make him think that glitter's everywhere. Either way, everybody wins. Whatever you are going to use your video for, whether it be for your second graders freaking out your husband or making your new TikTok, make unscreen.com your choice for removing the background.
All right. Well, Danny, I loved talking to Dr. Draper today. He had so many great insights that weren't, as I said when we were interviewing him, they weren't just like, this is kind of what I think. They actually went out and they asked their teachers from all over the district, what do we need to do moving forward? And what do students need us to do moving forward? I loved all of his tips, and I can't wait for everybody to access those documents in our podcast notes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he did not get the title Director of Innovative Learning for nothing. He had some great ideas, and I love like how innovation aligns with common sense so often. And so that's very exciting to me, not just as an educator, but as a parent of an elementary age student.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a really good way to put it. And it makes me think too about technology in general. His team is very focused on technology, but did you notice that he wasn't talking about specific tools? He was talking about how technology and innovation can make these common sense and very necessary things come about and makes them possible. It's that conversation we, I think, have been having for years, that technology is not separate. It's part of the whole program. Everything works together, and it's ultimately about students learning. And so I think among all the things that we've talked about that this pandemic has pushed us toward, that's another one of them. We've been pushed toward the tech and instruction and teaching and learning all blend together. And that's when it really works.
Yep. You're right there, Katie. Well, we want to give another thank you to Dr. Darren Draper from Alpine School District. And thank you for listening, everyone.